Good morning, Mayfair.
Good morning.
I just don't know, but I'm in trouble already. They caught me going around giving hugs. I just love you guys. Thank you so much for having me here again. I want to start out right away with a confession. Is that okay with you? I need to confess that I am indeed in a lot of trouble. I am. I forgot my tablet. But I'm glad I have a Bible, which is more important. But that's not really why I'm in trouble. I am in trouble because my wife said I was in trouble. Now I'm in real trouble. Some of you are not married. You don't know what I'm talking about. If you were, you know. But let me explain that to you. In fact, I'm going to go back a little bit and give you a little bit of what happened, and then you'll understand. I preached here maybe 3 years ago when Pastor Dean was here. And then he took me 2 years to come back. And some of you guys were asking me, Brother Garcia, how come it took you so long to come back? 2 years is a long time, 24 months. Who's counting? I said, well, it usually takes 2 years to recover from the initial visit. But now, some of you remember, I was just here in July. How many of you remember? And you're saying, well, 2 years, 2 months, you're making progress. But I need to let you know why I'm here. When I got here last July, I think some of you remember that Pastor Michael called me that Sunday morning, and I was not able to answer because I was actually brushing my teeth. When I saw the ID color, I got concerned. I said, something happened. Why would he be calling me just an hour before service? Probably I'm not preaching anymore. You know the story. It turned out that he just wanted to pray for me. So I thanked him, we prayed, and then I said, well, this morning, I'm going to get him first, right? I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go get him. So I did this, and don't tell him, maybe he's watching. I said, Pastor Michael, I want you to know I'm not going to be able to make it to Mayfair. I had some serious kidney stones last night. And I am telling you, if you ever had kidney stones, you know what I'm talking about. That's painful, so I'm not making it. But really, that didn't happen. But the reason why I'm here in less than 2 months is because I found a way how to get here before 2 years. And I just simply called Pastor Michael. I said, Pastor Michael, when are you going to be gone again? I love the people at Mayfair, and I think they like me, and they like my family. So if he's okay, can I come? I said, well, you know, I heard your sermon last time. And they're not just used to you. You know, it's not the theological depth that they're used to. And you know, I just need to let you know, with love and kindness, and you're my friend, you're not just ready. I said, you serious? I'm not ready to come back. I said, well, what can I do to make sure that I am ready? He said, well, just send me a message on YouTube or something, and I let you know. So I send them one and call them back. I'm ready now? No. You're not ready. So I said, well, let me do some really hard work and work on it really good. And I send them the notes. I did my exegesis, all the Greek words, because he likes Greek words, and all this stuff and all that. I just knew. I looked at my wife and said, I am ready. I know he's going to say, come back now. So I called him. He said, no, you're not ready. I mean, I was broken. You would be broken too. Don't look at me funny. You would be hurt. So I finally called him and said, I don't know what else to do. Listen, I said, Pastor Michael, I just want to go back. I'll go back for free. Now you're ready. I am in trouble because that's not true. He actually, this time he gave me an assignment just like before. But the assignment apparently keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I have to preach from 15 verses. In less than 30 minutes. How do you do that? That's why I said my wife, Adeline, told me you're in trouble because we read the passage together and she said there are about 7-8 messages in there. And you're going to have to preach like really like Speedy Gonzalez really fast and pray that your Puerto Rican accent doesn't get in the way. That's why she said I was in trouble. But this morning, what I want to do, I want to preach to you in a way that I don't normally preach. And let me elaborate on that and explain. I want to preach like the writer of the Gospel of Mark. Now, you've been in the Gospel of Mark now for a few weeks, so you know that Mark, if you're a young person, you know what I'm talking about. Mark, John Mark, the way he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you probably would say, he is fast and furious. You need to put on your seatbelt because he goes so fast and he's highlighting the miracles and he's highlighting everything that God did through his son Jesus, the baptism, the calling of the apostles, the miracles and miracles after miracles and miracles, and he's just showing the power of God. And the Gospel of Mark is unique, just like you are unique. That's why nobody could be you, because God made you unique. He gave you your own DNA. He gave you your own personality. So don't try being anybody else. Just be yourself. You are an image bearer of God, and you need to be yourself. Don't try to imitate. Just be yourself. And if you look at Mark and you compare Mark with Matthew and Luke and John, you say, why are there four Gospels? Wasn't it one just enough? Let me tell you, if they would have written 25 Gospels, it wouldn't have been enough to write all of the things that the Son of God did for you and for me. But why? But you know, you look at Mark and you see him from a different perspective and you see how fast he is. And I was looking for an illustration that we can identify with to understand this. And I want you to know, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but this is true. And I need to let you know, because of my culture, this truly happens. If you know that, if you ever watch a Hispanic soap opera, anybody ready to confess? They're really fast. Unlike the American soap operas, they could take 40 years before they're over. If you're watching a Hispanic soap opera and you miss two episodes, you're done. Because it happens really fast. It's like little Johnny was born. Next thing you know, he went to school. He got married. He had children. He's in jail. He got out of jail. And, I mean, it happens that fast. And that's how the Gospel of Mark is. It happens real fast. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to put on your spiritual seatbelt, because we're going to go fast, okay? I want you to be with me in the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to start preaching right from there. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. I brought my bilingual Bible on purpose. It has the Spanish, and then it has the English side by side. For your sake, I'll read from the English side. Verse 14 and 15. And by the way, there's something that we need to show you. If you have one of these, I don't know why they took it out. Maybe because I was already in trouble. But we were here last week. We came here incognito. We didn't want you guys to know we were here. We just wanted to worship with you and receive the word of God and be fed the word. And so we came here with the grandchildren. And when you come with grandchildren, it's really hard to be not noticed. Not only because they're cute, but because they do certain things. So we were sitting right over there. And Stephanie came in and grabbed Adelina and said, you better come. Your grandson is having a fit. So Adelina looked at me, Puerto Rican tantrum. I'm coming over there. And she went over there, and when she got there, he was just fine. It was like he did that on purpose. But we were just trying to just be here to worship with you guys. And when I was here, I had a complete different outline for this message. The outline is not this. And I'm going to explain to you why they took it out. They probably thought I made a mistake. The outline is this: belong, thrive, and go. Now, is that copyrighted? Because I didn't ask permission. That's probably they took it out. But I want you to put right next to every one of those points that you have in your program, if you have one, right next to one, put belong. Right next to two, numero dos, put thrive. And right next to numero tres, put go. Now, I didn't ask permission, but when I was here, I told Pastor I had a different outline. And as I was listening to your message, the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that I had to use a different outline. I didn't tell him I was going to use the copyright stuff. I just did it. So the first thing I want you to know as we get into this fast, really powerful Gospel of Mark, the good news of Jesus Christ, as he presents it, I want you to notice this. Number one, that we can belong to the kingdom of God. Look at verses 14 through 15 with me, if you don't mind. Verse 14, after John was put in prison. Now, hold it right there for just one second. If you've been reading the Gospel of Mark, you know that from verse 13 to verse 14, about a year just went by. Jesus was just baptized, right, by John the Baptizer in the Jordan River. Miracles happened. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove. You know the story. And then John Mark jumps from there to put John in prison? You mean to tell me that being a preacher can land you in jail? Yes, it can. It can land you in prison. You don't believe it, but let me tell you, I know about this. And it might not be long before what's going on in our world, because we're faithful to the gospel and the proclamation of the word of God as the Bible being his word, we might end up in trouble like John did. And he says here that he was in prison. Jesus then went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Now, check this out. Repent and believe the good news. You want to know how to belong to the kingdom of God? You want to know how to be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, like the apostle Paul says in Colossians? You want to know how to go from being dead in trespasses and sin to being made alive in Jesus? You want to know? Then do what Jesus says. Repent and believe. You can belong. You can be part of the body of Christ. You know, it tickles my heart. It actually makes me feel blessed and at the same time humble. It brings a degree of humility to think that Jesus was a preacher. John the Baptizer was a preacher. He came preaching, preparing the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. And people were confused. Because people will go to John the Baptist, are you the one? And he said, I am not the one. Are you? And then other people will show up, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and all these people. They wanted to know, because the crowds, the people that didn't have positions, the people that were not religious, they all knew there was no doubt that John came from God. And if you messed with John the Baptizer, you were in trouble. The leaders, the religious crowd, they feared the multitudes because they knew God sent John the Baptizer. And when John the Baptizer was asked, are you the one who's to come? He said, listen, I am not even worthy to untie the laces on his sandal. He said, listen to me. I baptize with water, but there comes one after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Listen, he was pointing to the Messiah. He was saying, I am a voice crying out in the wilderness. I need to let you know this morning, I identify with John the Baptizer. Now, I've been a Christian for so many years. I won't tell you how many. I don't want to embarrass myself. But I played kings. I actually played Herod, the mean King Herod. And people said I did a good job being bad. I played Jesus. I got to play Jesus on 2002. I was actually crucified for real, obviously, but I was there on the cross, and this truly happened. My daughter Crystal's over there. She was maybe, I don't know, 14? No, not even that. And she was young, and another girl, I'm not going to mention her name, I don't have permission, but she was right there. She was younger than Crystal, and I'm over there, and you know how they do it at the church with all the lights and stuff. And you need to let children know, by the way, that's fake. That's not real, because they don't know, especially the little girl. So I was crying out saying, into thy hands I commit my spirit, and I gave up the ghost. And then she started crying. Not my daughter, but the little girl. She really started crying. And she looked at Crystal. I mean, I'm on the cross, and I could see her. She was right in the front. This was really dramatic, traumatic. She's watching all this, all the lights and all the effects that we do in church. And I'm watching this, you know, I got tiny eyes, so I'm just peeking because I'm supposed to be dead. And I kid you not, God is my witness. Crystal says right here. She looked at my daughter, Crystal, and I thought I was doing a great job because she's crying. And she said, they killed your dad. I wasn't fooling her. She knew I wasn't Jesus. But if I had to play somebody, if you're ever going to do something about John the Baptizer, would you mind calling me? I come for free. Would you mind? I love to come and be John the Baptist. I tell you why. And this is an assignment for you. It's free. And if you don't like it, you can get your money back. This is your assignment. If you had to define your whole life, not just a few months, not the summer, not the winter, not when you were in Punta Cana, okay? Your whole life, if you had to define your whole life in one sentence, en una oración, in one sentence, what would it be? Did you know that John Baptist had that down pat? Let me tell you, I tried. That's really hard. I'm going to tell you what John the Baptizer said, but just a second, I want you to think about this. If you had to define your life in one sentence, what would it be? I was at a Baptist church, and a deacon got up as soon as I asked. I said, I don't have to think about it. We know it. I said, what do you mean? And not just for me, but for the whole church here. I said, what is that sentence? He said, we meet to eat, we eat to meet, and we eat meat. Is that why you come to church? For the great coffee and the donuts and the cookies? I mean, they were great, don't get me wrong. But if you were to define your life in one sentence, what would it say? What does it say right now? John the Baptizer said, he, meaning Jesus, must increase and I must what? Imagine that. His whole life was pointing to the Lamb of God. And when Jesus came, the Lamb of God, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Repent. Jesus comes preaching, repent. We need some preachers that are not afraid to use that word. We need some preachers that are not afraid to preach the Bible. In season, out of season, whether you feel like it or not. You know that in season, out of season, what it means in the original language is whether it's convenient or not. If John the Baptizer were here, he would say, whether it lands you in prison or not, you need to preach the word. Be faithful to the word, because it's the word of God that is going to transform you, change you, renew your mind, correct you, rebuke you, and make you into the person that God wants you to be. We need some preachers that are not afraid to say, I am standing on the promises, not just the premises. We have too many just standing on the premises. We need someone who's able to say, I am not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Preach it. Preach it with boldness. Preach it as the word. Let the chips fall where they fall and give God the glory. There was some confusion about whether or not John the Baptizer was the Messiah. He said, I am not. But people kept asking. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And people kept asking until God took care of the problem. You read the Gospel of Mark and you know that God the Father took care of the problem. Jesus and John the Baptizer had a conversation in the River Jordan. Jesus says, you need to baptize me. John the Baptizer says, no, you need to be, I need to be baptized by you. How could I baptize? Says, let everything be fulfilled. All righteousness be fulfilled. Jesus went under the water. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He went under the water, and when he came up from the water, the heavens were ripped. The heavens were torn, and God the Father settled the issue. He said, this is my only begotten Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son. John the Baptizer would have said, it is not me. Moses would have said, it is not me. God the Father said it. He settled it. The Holy Spirit came down so that everybody would know the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. No one else. No one else. Do not be afraid to be a John Baptizer. Do not be afraid to preach like Jesus. Do not be afraid to say what God said. God said, this is my Son. It is not Moses. It is not Elijah. It is not John the Baptizer. It is not Buddha. It is not Confucius. It is not Oprah Winfrey. It is not Muhammad. No, Jesus is the Son of God. And there is salvation in no other name but by the name of Jesus. And he says here that Jesus preached repentance. I said, I told you I was in trouble already. It says here that Jesus preached repentance, and John the Baptizer preached repentance. Did you know that repentance is not just for the unbelievers, but for the believers too? I'm not going to go there because that will be a whole different message, a whole different sermon. But in this case, John the Baptizer is preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And let me explain that, because a lot of people get caught up on that and say, wait a minute. Do I need to get baptized to get forgiven? No, you get baptized because you have been forgiven. But he says there, and then in Acts 2:38, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he told all these people, and all these 3,000 people got saved, and he said, repent and get baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Explain that to me. Well, I'm going to try to do my best, because we kind of do the same here in our language. So let me try to explain what he means, because when John the Baptizer said for the forgiveness, he was pointing toward the one, the Lamb that was to come. And when Peter preached that, he was pointing back to the one who had already come and died on the cross. And you say, but I still don't get it. You're not helping me. You're hard to please. Okay, let me use this illustration. Have you ever been to the post office? And I don't know if they do this anymore, but they used to have the 10 most wanted, right? Is that right? And a little girl walked in there and said, Daddy, what is that? She was trying to figure out what is that. And she said, these are the people that the FBI wants the most. They are fugitives. They are dangerous. And they're looking for them. And she said, why didn't they keep them when they took their picture? Smart little girl, right? But my point here is that if you see one of those things, it says, wanted for murder, right? It does not mean that he's going to commit murder. He's wanted because he had already committed murder. So when Peter said, be baptized for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness, it's because in Jesus Christ your sins are forgiven. Come and belong and be part of the body of Christ. Come into the light. Come and know Jesus in a personal way. Come and be part of the winning team. You know, my wife, she's right here, so I can say this, and then I'll get in trouble later. But we, back in the late 80s and early 90s, we would read books together. I remember we read Frank Peretti's The Oath, and we read Larry Burkett, who's in heaven now. He wrote The Illuminati. This is when I was young, okay, so don't judge me. And we read it, but we only buy one book, so we have to wait for each other. So I would get home from work and say, okay, let's put the book. Let's read it together. And she said, well, I already know what happened because I just couldn't take it. And I went to the end of the chapter or to the end of the book, and I already know. So you could read it. I said, what? But I said it in Spanish, ¿qué? You know what? You could do that with the Bible. If you're going through struggles, that should be most of us. If you're going through trials, if you're going through the valley of tears, bless your heart, let me tell you, turn to the end of the book and you're going to find out that those who are part of the kingdom of God, they are the winners. They're the ones who overcome. Yeah, Pastor Garcia, but you have no idea what I'm going through. I don't. God does. Pastor Garcia, if you only knew, I don't need to know. God knows. Pastor Garcia, let me tell you, did you tell God first? Why are you telling me before you tell God? You think I could do more than God? No, I cannot. I told you, I'll be fast. And listen, let me tell you, Paul said it, and he said, listen, the sufferings, the afflictions of this world, check this out, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us because we belong to Jesus. Quickly, let me move on, otherwise I'll be in more trouble than I am already. I want you to read with me verses 16 and 20, and this is where the thriving part comes, okay? And then this is happening real fast, because if you just read this, you might think, wow, look what happened with the disciples. They saw Jesus. Jesus said, come and follow me, and they just went with Jesus. And that's what he says, but if you read the other Gospels, you know that these particular fishermen had already met Jesus before. In fact, they had already spent the night at Jesus's where he was staying. You could read that in the Gospel of John. I don't have time to go there because I have to be like Mark, fast. And you're going to see this, and you're going to see how their lives are changed by accepting Jesus and accepting the invitation to be Jesus's disciples. So look at verse 16 with me right now, please. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, I wish I could tell you more about that, I just don't have time. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were what? Fishermen. By the way, I originally intended to entitle this Fishers of Men, But because Pastor Michael was going to let me preach, the whole sermon is just called a radical preparation of John the Gospel, a proclamation of Jesus, of repentance, and the power of the gospel. But fishers of men is a real good one, okay? And he says here, casting the net into the lake, for there were fishermen. And look at what Jesus says. Three simple words in Spanish, only two words, and I'm going to teach you some Spanish, so you'll be happy. Okay, but in English he says, come, follow me. In Spanish, it's actually one word. Sígueme. Can you say that with me at the count of three? Don't go faster than me, then you mess me up. One, two, three. Sígueme. That was weak. Let's do it now. One, two, three. Sígueme. See, now you know 100% more Spanish than you knew before. Next time you see a Spanish person and you want to invite them to Mayfair, just say, sígueme. Come, follow me. That invitation to be part of the Messiah's plan, be part of his ministry, for this is indeed the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He invites them to come and follow Jesus. Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Amazing. Let me tell you something real quickly. Last week when I came here incognito, that did not work. As I was coming in, there was a chaplain walking in here with a red vest. Are you here? Because you don't have the red vest today. I can't spot you. Bless you, my brother. Oh, yeah, you do have it. I'm sorry, I didn't have my glasses. That was the problem. You remember, we were walking in together. And you shared with me that you were coming in from the Genesee County Jail, right? And five people gave their lives to Christ. Am I right? Six this morning, five people last week. Give Jesus the glory. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, I'm going to speak for you. You let me know if I'm wrong. Could somebody pay you enough money in the world to take away the joy that God gave you when those people came to Christ? Would you change that for anything in the world when you saw those people coming into the kingdom of God and belonging to the body? Would you? He wouldn't. Listen, that blessed my socks. I said, listen, if I go home now, even though I haven't sang, even though I haven't given my offering, even though I haven't heard pastor preach, I am blessed beyond measure. People are getting saved in prison. People are getting saved in jail. And when you're part of what God is doing, you are thriving. There's no money in the world that could repay you. Listen, if you join the ministry, if you became a pastor, I don't know, maybe somebody's watching, you need to hear this. If you did it to become rich, no. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. That's a snare. Do it because people need the Lord. Do it because the net needs to be cast and Jesus had made you a fisher of men. I have a saying, and I'm going to let you use it if you want to. It's not copyrighted, so you could just own it if you want to. And those of you from Grace Bible who are here, I love you guys. Thank you for showing up here today. You know what? Because you heard me say it many, many times. And here's the saying. Pastors should smell like sheep. Can I get an amen? Pastors should smell like sheep, not like paper. And don't get me wrong, I understand administrative is ministry too. But if all you smell like is paper, you're a paper person. You need to smell like people. I saw somebody coming in this morning. We bonded immediately because I saw his Planet Fitness card. Where are you, my brother? Are you here somewhere? Oh, there you are, brother. And I said, are you a member of the Planet Fitness? Which one do you go to? I won't say which one you go to because then I'll get you in trouble. But did you know, maybe you don't know this, you could talk to Pastor Michael and Stephanie. They came over our house. So when they went down to the basement, they went, whoa! They even spoke Spanish. Hermano Angel! Brother Angel, you know what they saw? Some of you know it, so don't say it because you know you've been there. They saw that we have a complete gymnasium.
I kid you, I'm not exaggerating. This is not hyperbole. We do have a complete gymnasium. And then the obvious, logical, deductive reasoning question would be, why in the world would you go to Planet Fitness and waste your gas and your time if you have it all here? Because I don't meet anybody in my basement. See, as a church, we cocooned ourselves. And you ever notice, I mean, it didn't happen in Puerto Rico, but it happens here. You go, you drive into your neighborhood in your cul-de-sac, and you press that remote control, and the garage door opens. You drive right in, and then he closes. Your neighbor, all he sees or she sees is your license plate. He knows your license plate better than he knows you. And we cocoon in that. We don't know anything. We need to smell like fish. Pastors, we need to smell like sheep. We need to love them. We need to let them know we're here for you. We need to let them know I'm going to cry with you. I'm going to laugh with you. I'm going to be there through thick and thin. Whatever happens in your life, by the grace of God, we're doing it together. And then you will thrive. Then you will have a satisfaction and an inexplicable, ineffable joy in your heart that you cannot explain, because you're thriving with Jesus. Now I'm going to give you some personal application. And this really happened, and I'm going to move on because I'm running quickly out of time. Next step is go. Now, when we go, we go. Let me explain this. In the original language, when you hear Jesus said, go and make disciples, it actually says, as you go. Because we read that and say, well, you know, let's set a date, and I'm not putting this down because we need to do outreach events. I'm all for that. I loved it when Billy Graham used to do those crusades. I loved it when Luis Palau went all over Latin America and reaching people for Christ and by the millions. Gigi Avila, the Hispanic Puerto Rican Billy Graham, reached hundreds of thousands of people in the Latin American world. We don't know about it because we're here, but hundreds of thousands. Amazing things happening. I love it. I'm not knocking that down. Am I making myself clear? I just want to make sure I don't get any more trouble. I'm for that. But if all we do is wait for that one day in July when humidity is 98% and the preacher hasn't preached in years and he wants to let you have it in that moment, right? And you just wait for that one day and you don't do it as you go every day, as you go to fitness, as you go to work, as you go to the university. And I venture to say and suggest to you, even as you go to church, because I know some people that have been to church all their lives and they still don't know Jesus. Listen, as you go, and I'm grateful for the ministry of Ali and Joshua. Bless your heart, man. I was in the Navy. You bless my heart. I mean, this is, and at the end, we're going to pray for the chaplain again. We're going to echo that prayer. We want people to come to Christ because fishermen, they should smell like what? Fish. And pastors should smell like what? You got it. I don't need to preach anymore. You got the message. So listen, as you go, it means as you do your daily life. And I have a friend who's here today. I'm going to put him on the spot. He didn't know I was going to do it. He heard I was going to come and preach. His name is Moses. Moses, Elder Moses, would you please stand? This is my good brother Moses. You've been there for me when my mom died. Thank you so much, and thank you for your ministry that you're doing. I love you. My family loves you. But I'm going to tell you how we met. We met as we went. He went to get his oil change. I went to get my oil change. And I won't say where because I don't want to get in trouble. But I walked in there, and I see a man with his Bible. Can you believe it? An actual Bible. And it was a big one, too, black, huge. Maybe this is the baby. That was the father. And I see a man with the Bible, so I approach the man and, excuse me, I see you got a Bible. And says, yes, I do. I'm reading the Bible. Next thing you know, we're talking about the Lord. Because see, as you're thriving, it's not just about reaching the lost. God would put special people like Moses. Moses was lost here today, right? And an angel have to go find Moses. Right here, and I found him. I brought him here. Come sit with us. I said, sígueme, come follow me. And as you go, God puts people like Moses in your life. Man, I have no words to say because you've been through it yourself with your mom. My mom passed away before yours, and then I was there for you. The same comfort with which God comforted me through you, I was able then to be there for you. Isn't that amazing? How did that happen? As we go. What if when I walked into the dealership there, I almost said the name, I seen him with the Bible and said, you know what? I don't want him to know I'm a believer because he's going to start preaching to me. Or maybe he's going to find out I'm a pastor and he's going to be asking me questions. You know, it's Monday. Yesterday was a long day for the pastors. You know, we work every Sunday. The last 27 years, people come to me, Pastor, I'm sorry, but I had to work last week. It's so hard to work every weekend. Tell me about it. Last 27 years, every weekend. Right? And I could just use any excuse. He didn't know because people call me angel, but I don't have wings. I don't have halo. He couldn't tell I'm a pastor. I couldn't tell. But he had a Bible. He was not ashamed of having the Bible in there. And he wasn't showing up like, hey, I got a Bible. Where's your Bible? No, he would just simply, like, he would be reading a newspaper just as he went because that's who he is. Let me tell you, as you go, God brings people into your life. I don't know if he's here, but he said he might be here. His name is Jose Davila. Now, Jose Davila, I've been mentoring him for the last 10 years or so. This is how we met. City Hall, Flint, Michigan. National Prayer Day, maybe 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. You know how you go there and they had National Prayer Day and they say, if anybody wants to pray, pray. You don't have to ask me twice. I prayed. And at the end, he comes over to me. He's pretty big for being Puerto Rican. He's like this, and I'm this short. I say, hey, you Spanish? This accent I can never mask. Even when I pray, he shows up. And it's like, yes, I am. And then he started talking. So you go to church? Yes. At that time, I was planting a Spanish church. It was at the early stages of just being a Bible study. And he said, so you mean you're a pastor? You're a church planter? I need to get with you. And I said, for what? I just met you. He said, because he's big, man, he's intimidating. He's not here. Jose, are you here? And he said, I need to go. Let me explain this before I say this so you will understand what I'm saying. He didn't know the churchy language that we know. You know, because we speak churchinese. You ever spoken churchinese? Your neighbors do not speak churchinese. Okay? So Jose, he has a passion and a burden in his heart so that other people like Jose who've been in trouble, who'd been going through all kinds. He was homeless at one time. He's gone through so much. He was living in some of the burned out houses in Flint. Listen, he had a passion. Said, you mean you're a pastor? You're a church planter? You know how to tell people about Jesus? And then this is what he said, because he didn't know the church language. He said, can we go vandalize together? That is true. Adeline, you were there. True. I asked him permission to share this. He gave me permission. He says, listen, What is it that you want to do? Vandalize! Let's go vandalize! Do you mean evangelize? Yeah, yeah, that. Hey, he belongs. Just because you don't speak Christianese doesn't mean you don't belong. Who says you have to know everything in the Bible to be a Christian? No, you don't. No, you don't. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Repent, give your heart to Jesus. That's all there is to it. Honestly, from your heart, not faking it. Jose came to Christ. I met people like Moses in my life. And I'm going to show you a picture. Where is it? Ah, there it is. That's Bluebell Beach. No, that's not it. You could tell that, right? I wish I had time. I don't. But the young lady in the middle, the bride, that's my daughter, Evelise. Now, do it together. Ah. Now, say it in Spanish. Ah. Okay? Let me tell you the location. Punta Cana, República Dominicana, Dominican Republic. She wanted to have a destination wedding. So we did a biblical wedding. The wedding lasted a whole week. That's how it used to be in biblical times. I mean, we had the wedding right there. This is after the wedding. I happened to officiate the wedding too. What a blessing that was. And when Adeline and I got there, he said, you know, let's keep a low profile because, number one, they don't know us here. And number two, I come across a little weird sometimes, and I don't want you to be embarrassed of me. I'll give you an example. We landed at Punta Cana International Airport, and we're walking in there. You know the first thing they tell you? Do not drink the water, right? There are people there. They want to protect you, and they're saying to me, do not drink the water. And Eileen said, don't say anything. Do not drink the water. He said, don't say anything. And do not drink. I just couldn't say it. I said, don't worry about it. We're from Flint. Just in case you're wondering, we did not drink the water. But really, we wanted to keep a low profile. So I tell you, let's just be us, okay? Just enjoy this, you know, it's our daughter's day. And his name is Jonathan Gates. We call him Gates and Gates Day. So let's just enjoy this. But then some of the people that we invited, we had over 40 people from Michigan. You guys missed it, man. Who wants to get married? I'm willing. Not to get married, but to officiate the wedding. And we are there, and then the people that came from Michigan and people came from other countries like the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and Florida, and they came from Canada, from the country north of us, right? Or east of us, whatever it is. They came over because, you know, they wanted to be part of it. You know, this brother... And if you're watching Jose, we call him Chepo. If you're watching Chepo, I'm going to get you, okay? You're not. I walked into a store. First thing he says, Pastor Garcia. And listen, I'm trying to keep a low profile. When he said that, all these people came to me. I said, you're a pastor? This is true. I said, yes, I am. I said, could you talk to me because I'm struggling with this? Another one say, I'm thinking of suicide. We just went for a wedding, but... When you're thriving with Jesus and you belong to the kingdom, you have to be willing to do it as you go. And I kid you not, we went out of the resort area shopping somewhere, right? And then a lady found out and said, can you come and do a Bible study here for us? That really happened. Let's go to the next picture because I know I'm running out of time. Just so you know, not all the Hispanics are short. But he was so a professional and he loved us because we're always telling the truth. Next picture real quickly. This guy, I call him my Timothy. In Spanish, mi Timoteo, and I shorten it, I call him mi Timo. Because he worked at the store that my friend said who I was, and he came to me and said, I want to go to seminary, but I only make about $1 an hour. Could you imagine that? And you have to work hard. And he said, you want to go to seminary? I have a calling in my life. He had been struggling. So we restored him back to ministry and sent him money so he could go to seminary. This is on a wedding. I'm on vacation. Next picture. So you see. This guy right here, and I got to tell you about this because I won't be able to get to the last verses because I see people that need to go. But listen, this guy, he was the barber. Okay? He had a little barber shop. For you to get in there, you have to go like this and go in there. But that's how they made their money. And he never cleaned the blaze and he never cleaned anything, but that's how they made the money. And that little girl, because you're going to read, you go home and you read the rest of the story of Jesus after he called the disciples and made them fishers of men. He goes and performed all these miracles. So you know, I'm not making this stuff up. Just before we were getting ready to come back to Michigan, he was not allowed in the resort because he wasn't a tourist. He sent a message with somebody who worked out. My daughter has a fever, and she was bubbling up. I don't know if you could see all the stuff breaking out in her forehead and all of that. And then Jose went over to the pharmacy, and he had to go bring the money to buy the medicine. And I go over there to pray for them. And by the time Jose came back with the medicine, she was healed. As we go. I didn't do it. I don't have supernatural power. Jesus did it. And that brother still calls me. And it's been 3 years. Next picture, please. That's the same. You can see her a little bit. Next picture, please. That security guard. We led him to Christ. He was stationed right next to the gymnasium. My wife and I, every morning, we get up, drink some smoothies. Some tropical smoothies, and then go to the gymnasium. He would see us every day. He would wonder, why are you saying hi to me? I don't know you. Because, you know, I want to say hi to you. And because we spoke the same language, next thing you know, we're leading him to Christ. And he says, is there anything we could do for you? I thought he was going to be asking for money. You know what he asked for? A Bible. We got him a Bible. I'm showing you this because when you belong and when you thrive and then you go, you see the power of God. And when you say, like John the Baptizer, it's not about me, it's about him. When you say, I must decrease and Jesus must, say with me, increase, something happens. And when you say, I'm going to go, whatever he sends me, whether it's going to be at the oil change place, whether it's going to be Planet Fitness, whether it's going to be at work, whether it's going to be at church, I'm just going to go and be salt and light. Let me tell you right now, something marvelous happens. God is glorified, Jesus is exalted, and the Holy Spirit convicts the hearts, and people come to Christ. I had one more illustration, I don't have time, but if you are physically able and you'd be so kind to please stand with me now. I'm sorry it took a little long. Please forgive me. I want you, as we pray, to search your heart. It might be as simple as this. Do not close your garage door. Leave it open for 10 minutes. Walk outside. Pretend you're checking out the flowers. Do something. Stay out. Go get the mail again and stay out there 5 minutes until a neighbor comes out and say, hi! You're going to scare that person. Do something, but go. Don't stay. Don't cocoon. Break the cocoon. Let people know you belong. Let the light shine of the glory of the gospel. Because the Bible says that the God of this world, little g, that is Satan, has blinded the mind of the unbelievers so that they will not see the glorious light of the gospel. We need to shine that light. But then Paul says, but God has shown the light of the knowledge of the glory of the power of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You're the only face they're going to see. You're the only person, the only Jesus they're going to meet. You're the only hands they're going to shake. So go! Don't stay. Break the cocoon. You belong to the body of Christ. You belong to the team that wins at the end. Glory to Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, I don't even know what to say. I know it's hard to believe for some people. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I didn't sleep last night. I had a bad week. I don't even know how I'm standing here. But you are more than enough. And when I'm weak, then you're strong. And you remind us it's not about us, it's about you. And you remind us that you must increase. We need to get out of the way and let your spirit flow. You made us unique. You made us yours. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. Help us now that we belong, thrive. Thrive in such a way that other people will wonder, what is it with this person? How could he be happy? He just lost his mom. He lost his job. How could he be so joyful? Give us that opportunity to shine the light and point to the Lamb of God and say, because the Lamb of God, by his precious blood, more precious than silver and gold and precious stone, by him and through him and in him I stand before the Father. And because he called me by my name and he placed his spirit in my heart saying, I belong to Jesus, you're mine. He placed his spirit and he abides in us. And now, as Pastor Dale was saying, we cry out to Father God, Abba, Father. I am yours, and you are mine. Help us, Father, now to go and share the light and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just help us find friends out there. We need one another. Help us be a friend. Help us find those who are homeless. Help us find those who are in the Genesee County Jail. Help us find those who are in college, universities, being taught evolution and stuff. They're searching. They have a void in their heart. And help us be the ones, together with you, co-laboring together with you, to bring the gospel of Jesus to a dying world in a sea of sin, of death. There is a Savior. who's the captain of our faith and hope. There is a Savior who can rescue you. There is a Savior. I don't care how turbulent the waters may be. I don't care how strong the winds could be. There is a Savior who is your lifeguard, who walks on water. And there is a Savior, when He speaks, the winds obey and the water is still, and He walks and rescues you. When you say, "Help me," He will help you. If this morning you've heard the call of the Master, come, follow me. Sígueme. Come and follow. Speak with the elders of this church. I'll be in the foyer. Speak to me. We want to make sure you know that you belong. And then we want to help you thrive by learning how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then just go and let Jesus do the rest in you and through you for His glory. I thank you, Father, for the chaplains. The chaplains at the Forgotten Man Ministry, the chaplain at the military bases, the chaplains at the hospices, at the hospitals, they are doing a ministry that is such a beautiful ministry, such a needed ministry. Empower them by your Spirit. Father, anoint them with your love and help them deliver the message, to preach the gospel in season, out of season. Whether they like it or not, our job is to be faithful to you, and you will bring the fish as we cast the net. Thank you for this wonderful morning and privilege, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For yours is the power and the kingdom forever. In Jesus' name, and God's people say,
Amen.